When I was in the fourth grade, I was really strangely obsessed with the pink slime controversy. For those of you who don't remember, the New York Times came out with this article in 2009 about the meats inside of fast food restaurants and schools. It talked about how in the early 2000s, when federal officials were trying to get E. coli out of hamburger meat, they decided the best way to do this was with ammonia. So they would take these fatty beef trimmings and then run them through pipes and expose them to ammonia gas before flash freezing them and sending them to cafeterias and McDonald's. So obviously there's a really big problem with this and the way that we farm and distribute many other foods. But there is a growing alternative, and that's sustainable and organic farming. I'm Alex Cruikshanks, and this is the podcast Environmental.
Well, I think that what we're finding anymore is that you have to diversify in order to have health. You have to work with nature instead of against it. What they're trying to control nature. They use fertilizers, pesticides, herbicides, all these things that they have to put down all the time in order to grow something on the ground, because they're doing the same thing over and over and over again. Corn or soybeans, and that depletes the soil to the point where it's not fertile at all. And so then they have to pump in all of these inputs in order to try to build it back up, when it isn't a smart system. It isn't a system that's gonna work for the long term.
This is Sherry Duggar, sitting next to her husband on their farm in Morristown, Indiana. Together, they're farmers, store owners, educators, animal rescuers, lobbyists. Anything you can think of, they've done it. And their lives circle around local and sustainable farming.
I believe that, when you talk about sustainability, which I'm assuming that's what we're going to talk about, that actually has three components. It's not just environmental, it's also socially, and it's also financially. So it has to be a sustainable operation for us financially. It has to be something that, if we're going to be farmers, that we can actually make a living off of this and figure out a way to make it profitable for us. But also socially, what you're trying to do out here is to build a community. What we're trying to do is to build a community. We're trying to build a place out here that this property specifically was neglected, was foreclosed on, it had sat empty for a while, and we're trying to build it back up, but then also create a place for this area that doesn't have a grocery store in town. It doesn't have a place where people can learn about farming, small farming, and be able to understand why it's important. And then sustainable in terms of the environment. We're trying to do things that are better for the land. We're trying to do things that are better for animals. We're trying to, do things that, where we keep bees, we don't actually take their honey. We just give them a home and feed them when they need it. And so those are the types of things that we're environmentally minded, and we're trying to keep things going and grow food in a healthy way.
When we drive around Indiana, most of us are used to these huge farms filled with miles of corn and soybeans. But the reality is that this isn't an effective way to farm. Big farms like these are called monocultures, and they pollute waterways, increase global warming, and can lead to soil degradation and erosion. And this food isn't even being used to feed our population. Roughly 76% of American corn goes to the production of biofuels and animal feed. There are all these problems with conventional agriculture, and yet all these people still think that sustainable farming isn't a viable solution. They say that it's too expensive or that it can't keep up with the growing population. However, studies at UC Berkeley show that the yields between the two farming types are actually very similar. And the USDA says that profits on sustainable farms are much higher too.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of patience for folks who feel like it's not a viable way to feed an ever-growing world population.
You're listening to Matthew Josie, one of the owners of the Big City Farm in Indianapolis.
The amount of space we use is fairly small, very small, I would say, yet we're able to generate tons and tons and tons, literally tons and tons of food off that land. So that's our personal experience. And then the idea that, we're wasting a lot of land, a lot of water, a lot of resources that could be better used if that's our goal. If we really want to make that work, I think it's totally possible to feed a planet, even one that's population is growing so rapidly, by using sustainable farming methods.
And what's really cool about Matthew is that his whole diversified operation occurs right in the middle of the city.
We use two sites in downtown Indianapolis. So one is on the very near east side of downtown. It's about 1 acre or so total. And then we operate another site on the near south side of downtown. That's about 1.5 acres total. And so that's a fairly small amount of land for an operation like ours.
So obviously, sustainable agriculture is a possibility. But the real question is how normal people like you and me can support it. The answer is really easy. These are the sounds of the easiest place to show that you care where your food comes from. It's your local farmers market.
Always you vote with your dollars. And if you're going and buying a turkey for Thanksgiving and you don't know where that turkey came from and you don't know what's in that turkey or how it was raised, you're saying that I'm okay with concentrated animal feeding operations. I'm okay with putting my money into corporate agriculture. If you go to a farmer's market, then you're voting with your dollars and you're shifting it. You're shifting the tide. Yeah. That's the most simple thing. Dollars.
Just coming to the farmer's market and buying, you know, vegetables on occasion, even if it's just, you know, a single time, that's helpful. That's another dollar that we get towards, you know, making our business grow and survive.
So in the end, the future of our food really depends on the choices we make. And that's what's important. For 91.3, this has been Alex Cruikshanks. For more episodes of environmental and other great podcasts, visit our website, whje.com.